He wants to be such a good friend that he's telling us this morning, abide in me and I in you, which is up on the screen. So this morning I would like to speak about abiding in the Lord. In the Gospel of John, Jesus instructed us to abide in him. What does abide mean? Well, how is it defined? Abide is defined as to live with, to remain with, to have communion with. I want to read Psalm 91, verses 1-4. Come along with the subject. Psalm 91, verses 1-4 states that he who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. In these end times in which we are living, we want to and need to abide in that secret place of the Most High and to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Seeing that we are living in last days and that Jesus' signs of the end times are occurring, domestic and international unrest all over, we want to and need to abide in the Lord and stay close to him. I mean, if there ever was a time that we want to stay close to the Lord and abide in him, it's now. Abiding in him, we can trust God as our fortress and be confident under his wings. In reference to abiding in him, Jesus began this teaching by saying, I am the true vine. By saying true vine, he was indicating that there are other vines that are not good and detrimental to our spiritual life. By saying true vine, Jesus was saying that he alone is the source of true life, of what a life should be. Some people think that think life is all wealth, worldly pleasures, power, influence, and fame. But true life only comes from abiding in Jesus. We want to be attached to and abide in the vine and receive proper nourishment for life. If we're not attached to the vine, which is Jesus, we don't have proper life. We don't have proper nourishment. We're bound for failure. We could turn to John chapter 15, if you would turn with me. John chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1-11. Jesus was speaking these words the night before he was crucified. John chapter 15 and verses 1-11. John chapter 15 and verses 1-11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Abide in me, in verse 4. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? Our focus should always be on Jesus. Draw life from the Lord by studying his word, which is nourishment for your spirit. This is what abiding in him means. Stay in touch with the Lord, always through prayer. Drink living water to a filling and a refilling of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to review this. It is the basis of the message. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? Our focus should always be on Jesus. We want to draw life from the Lord by studying his word. We want to stay in touch with the Lord always through prayer. And we want to drink living water to a filling and a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Abide in Jesus and he in you, because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. There is a saying which is, the only one who can satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. Only in Jesus could a person find true reason for living and true meaning of life. Only in Jesus will a person know his or her purpose in life. Only in him could a person's life be complete. A life will never be complete without the Lord. Only in Jesus is the fullness of joy. Only he can properly direct every step of your life. The branch that abides in the vine, which is Jesus, will bear the fruit that he's looking for. In verse 8, the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. The only way we can bear fruit is by abiding in Jesus and he in us, because without him, we can accomplish nothing. And Jesus said it in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Man is nothing without Jesus. We need him for our next breath. What about Abraham? Here's an example of someone abiding in the Lord. If we could turn to Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6, we could see how Abraham was abiding in the Lord. Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6. Give a moment to get there. Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Notice the communion that Abraham had with God. And because Abraham was abiding in the Lord, he got to know him. And he believed the word of the Lord and his promises. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Abraham went out to receive this inheritance, not knowing where he was going, at the age of 75. Imagine the faith that he had. 75 years old, went out to receive this inheritance, not knowing where he was going. This is the faith that Abraham had because he was abiding in the Lord. Now, in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. If Abraham was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God, it shows that he was abiding in the Lord and his vision was heavenward. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 instructs us, set your mind on things above. I'm going to read to you, you can turn to me, or with me if you want, Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 8. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, throughout your generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Notice everlasting possession. Just a side note, all the war that's going on in the Middle East now, it's going to go on until Jesus comes back. The people, the nations against Israel, no matter who they are not going to win. Jesus said, well, the Lord said over here, everlasting possession. And he meant it. So no matter, there could be a superpower coming against Israel. They are not going to win. Because Jesus said, an everlasting possession. And who's going to reign from Israel when he comes back in his millennial reign? Jesus. That land is there for good, no matter who comes against it. But again here we could see the communication, the communion that Abraham had with God. He had this communication and knew God because he was abiding with him. And he made an agreement. He made a covenant with him. What is a covenant? A binding agreement, a sealed contract, and God is not going to break it. Israel is there for good. I want to This relates to a passage, Genesis chapter 18. It's where the Lord is actually speaking to Abraham. And they are talking, well, let's read it over here so we have a full picture. Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 to 33. This really brings into focus the communion and the communication that Abraham had with God. Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 to 33. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And the Lord said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Now Abraham's talking to the Lord, the communion that he had with him. "Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far would be from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account." And Abraham replied, "Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of the 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." He spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and thou shalt speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on the account of the 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Because Abraham was abiding in the Lord, he did not hide from him what he was going to do in Sodom. The Lord felt and knew that he could tell Abraham his judgment on Sodom. Verses 22 to 33, because Abraham abode in the Lord and knew him, he was able to intercede for the city of Sodom. From abiding in him, notice how well Abraham began to learn about the character and nature of God. Because in verse 23, Abraham asked the Lord, "Will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And in verses 24 and 25, what did Abraham say? "Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, will you also destroy and not spare the place where the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal right? It was as if Abraham was saying, I know you, Lord. It's not like you to do something like that. Do we know God so well that we know his character and nature? We can know the Lord this well by truly abiding in him. We need to know the Lord so much better. We want to abide in him. We want to know the character and the nature of God, which is a great privilege. Imagine knowing the character and the nature of the Almighty God. And we can know it if we just keep abiding in him. Abraham showed dignity and respect and reverence for the Lord. The beginning of chapter 18 informs us that Abraham fed the Lord and the angels that were with him. If he abode in the Lord so much and had so much communion with him that he was called the friend of God. Could you imagine? I mean, we read these words, but could you imagine being called the friend of God? The friend of this Almighty God, who we always say who is indescribable, undefined, almighty, mind-boggling God. And we could be his friend. Each one of us could be a friend of God. Maybe you are already. And each one of us could be his best friend. Depends on how much we abide in him. Notice that Abraham developed faith and trust in God from abiding in him. Abraham believed God. Another example of how Abraham was abiding in the Lord can be seen in the times when he built altars before him. These were places where Abraham would be in communion with and worship God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 instructs us, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis chapter 13, verse 18, then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Are we abiding in him? Do we worship the Lord and have communion with him that Abraham did? Or have the cares of this world and wrong priorities choked out and replaced the time that we should be giving the Lord? Do we have altars for the Lord in our lives, or do they have to be rebuilt? Have distractions, improper priorities, damaged or torn down the altars in our lives? How much time do we spend with God in prayer, studying him and worshiping him? We don't want to just read about the Lord. We want to study him and to know him. There's so much more that we can learn about the Lord. How well do we know him this morning? As we have sung many times in the past, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. What are we going to do about this? We could be the best friend to an almighty God, a mind-boggling God whom no one can compare to. We can be his best friend if we abide in him the way we should be. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. What priority and value do we place on the greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We need to know Jesus much better. How can we have enough strength and wisdom and endurance for the day if we don't spend time with him? We need to abide in the Lord. We need to have an altar before the Lord. What about quality time with Jesus? How many times have we heard here or even in the secular world this thing called quality time? Well, what better quality time could we have than time spent with the Lord? There's an old saying, tell me who your friends are and I will tell you who you are. Our friends rub off on us. We want Jesus to rub off on us. Are we abiding in him? From the hymn, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus, may I prove I've been with Jesus. Wherever we go, as we said before, whether people are for or against us, they will know by our words, our actions. It could be written on our faces that we have been with Jesus. And you could see on the person's face if they have been with Jesus. May I prove I've been with Jesus. When Moses came down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments, the glow of the Lord was so bright on his face, had to be covered with a veil because he was in the presence of God Almighty. Do we spend enough time with Jesus that people can see that we have been with him? The more you abide in Jesus, the more you will become like him. Becoming like Jesus should be our goal. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, I'll read to you. It tells us, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, wasn't a pretty picture over here? As we said before, the council, the Jewish council at the temple, were against Peter and John. The Lord used Peter and John to heal the lame man, and Peter said, in the name of Jesus. Town council didn't like that. They thought they killed Jesus. Really? He resurrected from the dead, as we know, and still alive and working, and they go and they heal this man in the name of Jesus. And the council didn't like it. They said, don't preach in that name anymore. They didn't like Peter and John. It wasn't like, oh, how nice, you have been with Jesus. But they had, as much as they were against Peter and John, they had to acknowledge they had been with Jesus. Wow, even those who were against them. What a testimony. We want to abide in the Lord. We hope and pray that others will see Jesus in us and that he increases in our lives and that we decrease, which is biblical. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus? He must increase, but I must decrease. We want our lives to throw off the fragrance of Jesus. This is not an exaggeration. This is not just a nice thing to say. It can happen that our lives throw off the fragrance of Jesus. Do you remember the hymn, Jesus Rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart? Don't flowers throw off a fragrance, like especially roses this time of year? Well, if Jesus is the Rose of Sharon blooming in our hearts, our lives could throw off a fragrance of him. We want Jesus to bloom in our hearts. We don't want the Lord to have to tell us, I missed my time with you. Remember that Lionel Harris wrote that? He was working for the Lord, but the Lord told him, you're not spending time with me. And that's when he wrote the song, I miss my time with you. We don't want the Lord to have to say, I miss my time with you. Maybe he's saying it already, I don't know. But we don't want the Lord to be saying that. The Lord wants to spend quality time with us. we should feel extremely privileged. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to abide in the Lord and spend quality time with Him? We want to spend quality time with the Lord, abiding with Him and He in us. We want to have an altar before the Lord, as Abraham did, where we could spend time with Him, where we could get to know God much better, where we could worship Him. Maybe we need to rebuild these altars this morning. We need to abide in the Lord and spend quality time with Him.